Good morning. You know, if you wanted to have some fun back in the 80s as a person of faith, bring up the topic of the Holy Spirit in a church setting and just kind of see where the conversations went. A lot of those divisions have kind of died down, and I think a part of that is because we've just sort of stopped asking the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Last week we looked at who is God. Next week we're going to look at who is Jesus. And so we're going to spend a little time this morning asking the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Because I think it's one of those aspects of God that we're just not fully aware of and haven't thought too much about. So let's explore that this morning. First question we want to ask, and then we're just going to look at a few questions. First question we want to ask is, is the Holy Spirit a who or a what? Now, sometimes we think about that when we think in terms of spirit, the idea that there's just some sort of energy force out there, non-personal energy force. But the Bible reveals something totally different to us, and that is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, not a human, but a person, that is, has individuality, has the ability for agency to act, has thoughts, wills, emotions, all those things that make a person a person. Jesus tells us this, and there are a number of scriptures we look at, but we'll just look at one here on this. He has just told the disciples, the apostles that are with him, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Now, notice what he says next. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, notice that he uses and refers to him as him. Now, the issue here is not gender, but the fact that he's referring to him the way you would refer to a person. But is he just a person? Well, Scripture tells us a little bit more, and that is the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, we think about this for a little bit. If we go to Matthew 28, 19 to 20, what we call the Great Commission, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, not names, but name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So what we see is there is one singular name for three persons. As we read throughout Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit is given and identified with the same attributes as God. That is, that he's eternal, he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. All those things. So what we see is not just here's a God and here's a God, but we see with this that there is a God. Now, I know that can be confusing, and some of you are scratching your head and beginning to wonder, maybe I should just spend time thinking about IU's win over Ball State yesterday. Maybe that would be fun. Because you're thinking, I thought there was a God. Now you're telling me, it sounds like you're telling me there are two gods. Well, no, the Bible is very clear that God is one. But this topic brings us to the idea, the concept of what we call the Trinity. Now, maybe you've heard that word before, Trinity. And it's a man-made word. You won't find it in Scripture, but it's a man-made word to describe a phenomena or what we see in the Scriptures. And it simply expressed this idea as three in one. That can be a challenging idea. And so if you want to kind of wrap your head around this just a little bit, one analogy, and it's not a perfect analogy, but is to think of an egg. So if you put your hands out in front of you and just put a little egg in that hand, if you want, just kind of think for a moment, see that egg there. And think about what's in the egg. You've got the shell. And then inside the shell, you've got the yolk and you've got the whites, right? Now, which part is the egg? Which part isn't the egg? You know, no one, you wouldn't say to one of your kids, hey, will you go and get me 3 eggs out of the refrigerator, and mean just the 1 egg there. You wouldn't say, get me the shell, the yolk, and the whites. You would just say, get me an egg. Again, it's an imperfect analogy, but it gives that idea that there is a 3-in-1. And the Holy Spirit seems to be that aspect of God in which he interacts with people. And we're going to look at some of that interaction here in just a moment. But very roughly, in the Old Testament, we would read about the Holy Spirit coming upon people. And when he came on them, they were able to do often miraculous types of things or things they weren't able to do before. Right? We see that the Holy Spirit came on Samson and he would have great strength. Or the Holy Spirit came on Saul, the king Saul, and he began to prophesy. But the New Testament tells us something else, and there's still some coming upon people, and they're able to do some miraculous things. But for day-to-day living in Christ, there is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit dwells within us. And we want to explore that a little bit more this morning. And as we answer this question, what does the Holy Spirit do? So if he's God and he's part of the Trinity, what does he do? Well, there are a few different things as we looked at it, how he interacts with us. But here's a few things that we take away. This is not an exhaustive list, but here's just a few things. One, we see that Scripture was the Holy Spirit was the source of Scripture. That is the Word of God come to us, which is interesting because the idea of the Spirit, and when we talk about inspired Scripture, we're talking about something being breathed into it. And that fits with what the Holy Spirit is doing. We read a few verses. Peter said this, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So what the prophets, and he's speaking foremost, I think, of the Old Testament prophets, but it comes over to a New Testament prophecy that was around for a while, that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, that it's the Holy Spirit bringing this. And Jesus says in John, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Again, here's the Spirit bringing from God what people need to know. And then take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." So when God wanted to convey information to his people, it was the Holy Spirit that brought that information. Now, is that happening today? Well, one of the things that people of faith didn't have for a number of years was a written word, especially in the New Testament era. It took a while before Scripture was all written down and put together. So what we have, what we call the Bible, Scripture, New Testament, and Old Testament together, is what was recorded by men, the Holy Spirit working through them to communicate things that God wanted communicated. Now, they weren't being dictated to, and what was that you said? Okay, let me write that down. What was it? He worked through their personalities, and that's a whole other interesting topic all by itself, but it's key for us to see that the Word of God comes to us via the Holy Spirit through people. We'll look a little bit more. What does the Holy Spirit do? One of the things he does, and this gets into what Ken was sharing with us, is that he reveals our need for salvation. John 16:8 says, "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." This is another way of a word we might use is conviction. We are convicted about something. We recognize that something is wrong. Now, how does he do that? Well, it's key for us to understand that he uses the word of God to accomplish this. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So, I liken it this way. If you've ever had pulled up a file on your computer, and you get a little message that said, there is no program associated with this file. Or you've gone looking for a file or a program to open up, and you realize it's just not on your computer at all. You can't use it. Your computer's there, but you can't access it because it has never been downloaded onto your computer. So this is what we need to understand. In order for God, for Jesus, the Spirit, to convict you and reveal to you things, you need to hear the Word of God. Now that starts out with somebody, as Paul is referencing there in Romans, about somebody proclaiming the gospel message, and somebody hears that, and the Spirit says, this is truth. Or on a day-to-day basis, for many of us in this room who are followers of Jesus, one of the things we need to recognize, it's important that we get the Word of God into our own minds and hearts so that the Holy Spirit can use that. I've had a number of occasions where I'm reading through the Scripture, something as a devotional thing, and I hear God say, kind of still small voice, what you're reading right there applies to the situation that you're facing right now, a choice that you have, an attitude that you've embraced, whatever it might be. But for many of us, we don't hear that because we haven't taken the time to read for ourselves the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active, and something happens when you will read it for yourself. And let God, through His Holy Spirit, show you things that you can apply to your life right now. Now, whether you read just a few verses a day, you read a chapter or a week, I encourage you to find and develop a pattern for your life where you encounter God's Word, so the Holy Spirit can use that Word to show you things you need to see in your life. If you're just going to sit around and say, okay, Lord, I'm not doing anything, you just act, you're going to be waiting a while. Take time to read it. And if you have questions, if you read something that you don't understand, that's why we're here. We'll help you try to understand it. We can point you to resources. We can share our own thoughts on it. But start somewhere. Now, here's another thing that he does for us. He regenerates us. Now, that's a fun theology word. Regenerate. And all it simply means is that it is resurrection from spiritual death. Spiritual death took place for humanity in the Garden of Eden. God said, you can have all the fruit off all the trees except for this tree right here. It wasn't an apple tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the day you eat of it will be the day you die. They eat of it. Did they drop over dead? Nope. But when God came and said, when God came in the cool of the evening to spend time with them, what did they do? They ran, they hid, they covered themselves. Something happened in their relationship with God, and what it was a spiritual death. And so one of the things that the Spirit does for us is regenerates us when we come to Jesus in faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Now what he's saying there, you didn't have to earn it, didn't have to work. This is something that God did. And he says, it is by grace you have been saved. But now let's look at the Spirit's role in this. He said, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but again because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's job of that regeneration, of making us alive again. And what that means is now we have the ability to be obedient and to put God's word into practice into our lives. To do the things we should do and not do the things we shouldn't do. And more than that, not just this legalistic rule following, but to really have a vibrancy in our life of loving and serving other people with grace and with truth. Now, this regeneration is a little bit like the phrase that Scripture uses, being born again. To be born again. Now think about what happens when a baby is born. And you have that beautiful little baby in your hands, and you wrap them up, and they're just so sweet. 16 years later, if you've still got that baby wrapped up, using a diaper, you got a problem, don't you? You want that baby to grow. You want them to get skills as they go along the way. You know, it's fun when you first see them get a hold of a Cheerio for themselves, and they'll eat it, and then later they're able to use a spoon and then a fork, and that one day when you really go out on faith and you hand them a knife. And when you have that moment when hey, I went potty. Think about that. You know, only when you're about 2-3 years old does anybody celebrate the fact that you went potty and you're allowed to walk through the house. Hey, I want you to know I went potty. Want to see it? Now when you're little like that, but that's a milestone. And then after a while, we move along. We want more milestones to come in life. It's this maturing process. Now, the Bible has a word. Here's another fun theology word. It's called sanctify. And sanctify is a fun word to say because makes you sound like one of those televangelists. I'm going to sanctify you, right? Say it just like that. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Sanctify. All right. You got to really push the S on it. But it essentially means we are growing up spiritually. We're going from being a born-again infant into a mature adult. And that's what the Spirit does. Now look at Ephesians 3. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, where in the world is our inner being? You know, at what point do you think you go inside? What point are you going to your inner being when now you're going back out to your outer being? Well, our inner being, what he's referring to here, is essentially and ultimately our minds, our thought life. Because all of our choices, all of the things that we choose to do ultimately come out of there, either out of the subconscious or the conscious parts of our thinking, of our mind. And so that's where we're strengthened. Now, one way the Bible describes this strengthening is with the image of a fruit. Look at what Paul wrote to the churches in Galatians. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So these are things that don't come from keeping the law. These things come from the Spirit's work in our life, from this maturity, from this sanctification. This is what we should begin to see in our life. Just as if you had an apple tree, you'd want to see an apple there. Or you'd want a peach tree, you want to see a peach. You got a strawberry plant, you'd want to see a strawberry plant. Or strawberry fruit. You'd want to see those things growing there. That tells you something about them and that they're healthy. And so we need to see the Spirit's work bringing this fruit. And as we allow the Spirit to work within us, we begin to see these type of things. Now, not all at once, but over time, as we grow, as we mature, these are the marks of maturity. The mark of maturity is not how much scripture you know. The mark of maturity is not how long your prayers are every day. The mark of maturity is love and peace and patience and goodness and self-control. That's what a mature believer looks like. And that's what it means to be sanctified, to have that growing. Now, there's another element that he has here for us. He serves us. It's okay. The verse will be up there. I'll be all right. He helps us to serve. He helps us to serve. He gives us gifts to serve. Now, Let's take a look at, Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talks about the role of spirit. And then let's take a look at this verse. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit distributes them. That is, passes them out. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And what he's telling us and what he goes to tell us in that passage, that he gives us these gifts so we can serve the church and the community around us. And that's going to look different for different people, but it's the same Spirit who's enabling this to happen. Now, in your program / bulletin, you'll see a little sheet in there, a little insert, of some ministry opportunities here in the congregation. This is not an exhaustive list, but I encourage you to take a look through there, and you may see something that, yeah, this would be fun. I'd like to try this. Now, keep in mind, you may try, you're welcome to try something for a little bit, and if you find out, I'm just not sure that's part of my gift in this, then figure out what it was that didn't work, and we'll help you find another place. I'd encourage you to try it. So take a look in there and see if there's something that might work. And there's a number of different areas, and hopefully you'll find something that you might be able to be a part of that process. Another thing we've got an opportunity for you is this week, coming weekend, is the Fall Festival, and we want to have a table again. We're not giving out water this time. Instead, we're going to have one of these little spin wheel things, and there'll be a little treat type thing on there, and people can do that, and we'll just give them a treat, and there'll be information about our church. And again, we just want to be present. But there's one more thing that we want to an opportunity we want to make you aware of. I'm going to ask Pam Allen if she'd come on up here. And maybe you notice the tree out there and some tubs of coats. And we have another opportunity, you know, on the heels of the back-to-school bash. We just want to go that next round and see how we can serve our community. So, Pam, you want to share that with folks?
I love to talk, and I love people. I do not love to talk to all these people with a microphone in my hand. With that being said, sometimes the Holy Spirit lays something on your heart, and he'll give you the strength to do what he asks you to do. With that being said, we had a back-to-school bash here, many of you know, latter part of August, and we were able to distribute backpacks to about 300 children with school supplies, and there were a lot of other neat things that we were able to offer as well. The Elks partnered with us, and it was just a really super event if you had a chance to be a part of it. Prior to the giveaway, I came to the church for a meeting, and interestingly enough, it ended up being Byron and Angie and myself. It wasn't quite planned that way, and as we were talking, it had really been laid on my heart that winter's coming, and there were going to be probably a lot of kiddos that didn't have coats. And we had the discussion. I thought, somebody should do something about that. Guess that was me. So anyway, as we talked about it, the thought was that we would just maybe kind of screen and see what the need was. And so we had a table set up at our giveaway. 190 children expressed a need for a winter coat. I'll be real honest, I was a little scared to try to meet that need. I got the names of the families that were in need. I got phone numbers. And when they signed up, I said, we are going to do our best to make sure that we can get a coat for anybody who's on this list. I didn't really know where they were coming from. Of course, a dear friend reminded me that God has above and beyond all that we could possibly need, and I'm sure he wasn't worried about 190 coats. So with that being said, we have put together a giving tree. If you have opportunity to check it out in the foyer, there are coats on the tree. The pink ones are girls. I thought that was pretty smart on our part. The blue ones are boys. They all have a size on them. And if you have a gently worn coat, we'd like it to be clean. Or if you have it in your heart that you can go out and buy a coat, we are partnering with the Elks again, but we are going to meet the need for all of those who expressed the need for a coat. So if you would grab one of those coats, if you bring a coat in, bring that tag and attach it to the coat that you bring in. on October 21st. We're going to take inventory, and that will give us a couple of days to hopefully go out and acquire any more coats that we need. And then on Saturday, October 27th, from 10 to 12, we will have called all of the people on this list, invited them back to the church, and make sure that they have a winter coat.
You know, one of the great ways that God sanctifies us is by using us to serve others. And this is a tremendous opportunity. We have a number of things. So I encourage you to think about and just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then listen. Listen to that still small voice. Read your scriptures and let God speak to you. Now here's the last question I want us to answer this morning. So we've talked a lot about the Spirit. How do I interact with the Spirit? How do I engage with the Spirit or have the Spirit engage with me? Let me give you two quick things. First off, it starts by receiving Him. One of the things that you'll see in the Old Testament and a little bit into New is sometimes the Holy Spirit comes on people just without their choosing. But those were temporary situations. The Spirit could come, Spirit could go, and they usually involved some special circumstance and some way that God was trying to say, this is from me. And there was something happening in that moment. But what we see throughout kind of what we call the church age, as Christianity really took hold and blossomed, is rather instead the indwelling of the Spirit, coming to us at salvation. Listen to what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. This is in response. The first full-out gospel message was preached post-Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And people said, what must we do? What should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the first way that we receive the Holy Spirit's indwelling within us is by accepting the gift of salvation that He has for us. By surrendering ourselves, calling on the name of Jesus, being immersed into the waters of baptism, buried with Christ, raised to a new life. So I have to receive Him. I have to say, I want God's work in my life. Going forward from there, we need to make sure that we cooperate with Him. Paul says this to the Galatians, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Maybe some of you, like me, were band geeks. And you had to do marching band, and we not only marched in halftime parades, but we did our halftime shows, we did a lot of parades. And one of the things you had to learn very early on was how to march in step, not just with everybody else, but the step of the drum major who set the cadence, the speed, the left foot, right foot thing. That started with the drum major and worked its way back. You and I need to get in step with the drum major, with the Holy Spirit. Get in sync with what He's wanting to do. Maybe a better analogy would be this of a three-legged race, if you've ever done one of those. You know, two people next to each other and you tie the middle legs together. The only way you can achieve that is if you determine how to get in step with one another. And which foot is going to go forward and which one's going to wait. And how you're going to go. And if you aren't in step with each other, what are you going to do? You're going to fall down and go boom. We need to learn how to get in sync and in step with the Spirit. Paul gives us a hint on this in Ephesians. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he tells us some things we need to get rid of. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of things to get rid of, but basically there's some stuff we need to stop doing. Some attitudes, some actions, some words that we just need to stop, and we need to get out of our lives. Then he says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. There are some things we need to start doing for that are right. Some acts of love, how we treat other people. And that's how we get in step with the Spirit, by getting rid of the stuff we need to get rid of and bringing in the stuff we need to bring in. So here's my question for you. I want you to think about, where is your life out of step with the Spirit? Is there some stuff you need to stop doing? Is there some stuff you need to start? Where are you out of sync with the Spirit's movement in your life? And if you want to have the life that is truly life, the vibrant life, the life that is filled with joy and peace and goodness, you have to get in sync with what the Spirit is doing to be sanctified, to be matured, so you can see that fruit taking hold in your life. But God won't force this on you. It's a choice you need to make. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. The words are very simple, and we'll just repeat them. It says, the Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. That's what Pam was talking about, these opportunities that we have to be used. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And it's my prayer that as we sing this song, you'll make it your prayer to say, Lord, help me get in sync with the Spirit. And again, as always, if you want to use this as a place to pray, please do so. If you need to just, where you're at, standing, kneeling, whatever you need to do, sitting, if you just need to have a talk with God, have that talk. And open yourself up to allowing the Spirit to work in you, and within you, for you, and through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and a chance to study your word. Lord, we're reminded in your scripture that you are our comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Sometimes he convicts us. Sometimes he challenges us. Sometimes he comforts us. And I pray that what everybody needs this morning, if they need some challenge and conviction, or if they need some comfort, that they would know that they can call out to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.